Okay, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. I want to ask, message will be simply on, does it make a difference? Does revival come in answer to prayer? You know, you probably don't know this, but in the theological world, there are many who say revival is merely a sovereign act of God. And nothing that man can do will have any impact whether revival comes or not. Now that's a broadly held view. That is a broadly held view. I say it borderlines on intellectualism, but it's broadly held review, a broadly held view. And we want to at least consider that briefly tonight. Let's answer that in a couple different ways. But we'll answer that as we look at the book of Luke, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Talking here about the power, influence of the Holy Spirit. We'll answer that in a couple different ways. If you have ever been a witness for Christ, and or have you ever prayed for God's power to be a witness, and God empowered you to witness? That's the question I have for you. As a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or teacher, have you ever prayed for God's power to fill you? And God gave you special quickening, anointing, and the word was received. You could put it a lot of different ways. Have you ever? I can answer this for myself. Have you ever prayed and say, God, what is it that you want me to preach? Show me and fill me. Well, obviously, I would hope that almost any time I preach, it's first of all because I've asked God what I should preach. So the answer to that question is really kind of, to me, self-evident, that a prayer is a key to the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about the applications. Think about a parent praying for their children. Do you? What about your job as leading the family? Fathers, do you pray for God's power to overcome your own inabilities, your own inhibitions, your own failures? Have you ever prayed for God's power to empower you to do what you need to do, even though you have all the reasons in the world not to do it, or instead to quit? or not to fulfill your responsibility? You know, these are just very practical things. It really has to do with our relationship to God. It really has to do with recognizing that God is real, knowing God is real, knowing the Holy Spirit is real, and realizing our need and turning to God and calling upon Him to work in our life. I mean, that's just, that really should be kind of a moment-by-moment thing in our lives. I realize that we can get so into life that that doesn't even enter. That's really sad, isn't it? Really sad. And really what is happening in that case is people are walking in their own strength. And certainly they're not only walking in their own strength, but they're going backwards, because you can't do anything for God in your own strength. Nothing. You can't even come to church and get a blessing if you aren't depending on God to work. So, I'd like to just give a little, read a little story here. It was in the winter of 1816. In the Llyn Peninsula of northwest Wales, a young lame boy decided on a plan of action. His problem was that after the Sunday school afternoon preaching service, he had a couple of hours to wait until the commencement of the Sunday school. Feeling bored with playing with other children during this time, he hit on an effective and even ingenious plan. As soon as the afternoon congregation left the small chapel building, he hid secretly in the chapel loft. No one knew his whereabouts until one Sunday afternoon, a girl noticed his movements and insisted on joining him. On condition that she would not be a nuisance, he allowed her to come up to the loft with him. Almost immediately, both children began to pray together earnestly for the Lord to bless and revive the church. Gradually, other children joined them, and a spirit of prayer was given to them all. Unknown to the children, the church members had also begun to pray earnestly for the Lord to make the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God powerful and effective in their church. By January of 1817, just a little over a month later, there were encouraging signs that their prayers were being answered. The Lord had revived His work in the Calvinistic Methodist cause known as Capel Yinant. We could probably read many, many, many other illustrations. But, you know, sometimes as a sidelight, sometimes we think that revival doesn't involve children. Sometimes adults think that children are somehow less saved than them, and therefore they should not expect anything really spiritual to come to be in their life or come out of their life. I mean, a 8-year-old who is saved is as just as much saved as I am. And an 8-year-old has the opportunity to pray and have his prayers answered as much as any adult. And somehow in America, we've gotten this idea that children don't have to be spiritual. And somehow in America, we got this idea now that young adults don't have to be spiritual. That somehow it's acceptable and normal for the young generation to go a different route. But you know, that's not anywhere in the Bible, is it? In fact, some would say this whole idea of teenagers is a concept that is completely contrary to the Bible. Yes, there's such a thing as a teenager. But a teenager isn't any less saved than an adult. And a teenager not only is capable of being spiritual, but according to the Bible, it would be normal for them to be spiritual. It would be normal. Where do we get this idea that somehow it's normal for young people not to be spiritual? Not to love God, not to be obedient, not to want to please God, not to have tender hearts. Where did we get that from? We certainly did not get it anywhere from the Bible. I challenge you to get the book Token for Children. And it's a great story, a great testimony of children in New England era, colonial era, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, even younger, genuinely converted, on fire for God. And being instruments of a great work of God in and through their life. You see, this is normal. This is normal. It's not abnormal. And I think that there's a lot of reasons for that. We won't go into all of that. We want to focus on what is normal. I think I like the title of Brother Flanders' book, Back to Normal. And he deals with this subject, if you've read it. And he goes through the Bible and through the New Testament and says that revival is really normal. In fact, a lot of people will greatly respect Jonathan Edwards, but Jonathan Edwards said that the growth of the church, and we would use that word a little bit differently, but he's talking about the growth of the church, of the churches, has always been mainly through revival. And if you think about that, that is why we have come to humanistic music and humanistic methods, is because people are trying to do what only God can do. And there has been very little revival. In fact, there's been no national revival for almost 150 years. And very few churches have ever experienced real revival, and very few Christians have ever experienced real revival. And so the normal is missing. And most preachers don't even know what to aim for because they've never experienced revival. And many Christian parents don't even know what to expect from their children because they've never had revival. Maybe they've had whatever, but they've never experienced revival. So let's go back to our premise. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? A simple premise, and the premise is this. Do you pray for God to empower you? That's a really important question. Do you pray for God to empower you? Do you even think, you know, maybe I shouldn't even ask, do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about it? Now, obviously, if a person is, in a carnal state and is just, you know, living a nice little Christian life, but really not spiritually minded, not really trying to do anything miraculous for God, well, they're not going to be praying for the power of the Holy Spirit upon their life. They don't need it. But that should be normal. We should be praying for the power of the Holy Spirit upon our life. Certainly, we should be praying for this church. We certainly should be praying for every service. We certainly should be praying for the Spirit of God to do something in our lives and in this church. Now, let's put it practical, okay? First of all, let's talk about young people. When's the last time you prayed that? I mean, on your own. When's the last time you prayed for that on your own? Not at prayer meeting, but on your own. That'd be kind of an indication if you really mean it, right? But on the other hand, let's also be positive. The fact is that, you know what, God does answer that kind of prayer. God does answer that kind of prayer. You know, to think that there can't be revival, if there can't be a working of God in our lives, in our midst, that is a totally discouraging thinking. Oh, it's too hard. People are too hard. People aren't interested. Nobody's going to want to get saved. It's useless. Well, that really kind of thinking comes from the fact that we're not thinking rightly. God's power is available. And God's power makes the difference in our life and around us. Makes a difference. And here we have a promise from God. Now obviously there's other obvious things involved, but we have a promise from God. If we had asked Him for the power of the Holy Spirit, He is more than glad to give it to us. Amen? He is more than glad to give it to us. And there's a great promise here. It's a great promise, great principle. And it overcomes all the thinking of defeatism. Overcomes all the thinking of giving up, all the thinking of failure, all the thinking that it doesn't count, that church is just a social club, that nothing was going to change, no great movement of God could ever happen, the most difficult cases will never be solved. No. We have a principle, we have a promise. And there's obviously a very real aspect of it. And that is to take that truth, to take that promise, and to apply it to your life. to pray for his power, pray for his hand, pray for his blessing, pray for his leading, pray for his empowering. It's just as simple as that. You know, there is a deadness that has come over Christianity. Let me illustrate it. My friend, Dr. Eugene Peterson, some of you remember, he was here at our 35th anniversary. He was the history professor and preaching, homiletics professor, and whatever, church ministries professor when I went to seminary. Then he was one of the original professors at Detroit Seminary. And you've heard, some of you heard this illustration. But we had in our course of church history, and we oftentimes talked about the revivals that took place. And I remember him telling me that he would, in chapel at Detroit Seminary, when he had a chance to preach, he would preach on revival. And the professors would mock him. They would mock him. That is that is representative of a spirit of Christianity that is, I don't know what I want to say it is. That brand of Christianity is leaning away from the Lord. It's certainly engaged in intellectualism, and certainly Detroit Seminary is a leading proponent of everything that destroyed Northland College, etc. But I believe that it's great for us to realize that God is still alive. And again, for me it was a great... You know, you could go to the streets of Wales in the city of Roche and you could say, hey, you know, these are just buildings, this is just streets, it's nothing. But you can take the time and you can say, you know what? At this very place, the Spirit of God fell down. And there was men who prayed and children who prayed. And men who preached the Word of God. And the Spirit of God used the preaching of the Word of God to bring about a stirring in the people of God. And that eventually, that whole village, the vast majority of all that village, was being moved by God. Do we need the Holy Spirit power? There's no question. There's no question. Do we need it upon this ministry? No question. Anything but the obvious truth. What about your family? Have you given up praying big prayers for your family? You know, when we disbelieve that there is such a thing as the power of God, the Spirit of God, who can work, we quit praying big prayers, don't we? And we quit attempting to obey God and the work of God languishes because the work of God cannot do anything for God without God's Holy Spirit power. Will you pray for God's power upon this ministry and all the ministries. Do you pray? Will you pray? That is the question. We have a great promise right here in the Word of God. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall, let's be put a good word in there, another word, how shall your good Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask for Him? Maybe try it tomorrow. Maybe try it tonight. Maybe when you go to work tomorrow, pray all the way to work. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon you. Pray for boldness. Pray for His power. Pray for the opportunity to witness. Children. How many 8 or 9 years old are 8 or 9 years older? 8 or 9 years old children do we have? Are you saved? Then you should be praying for the power of the Holy Spirit in your own life and around you. You know, I think in many cases there could be great, far greater power coming from those, that group of people praying than maybe any other group. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And now use it in our lives, Lord. Use it in our lives, Lord. Use it in this church. Lord, defeat those thoughts that would want to put this reality to the side. But I pray You to encourage even tonight, Lord, encourage work and even lives to decide to begin calling upon You for Your working in their life, Your empowering of them every day. And Lord, for Your power to come upon this ministry and all the different ministries, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.